Kia ora, good evening. Prime Minister John Key has just completed a top-secret mission to visit Kiwis training troops in Iraq. Sandstorms and the threat of an Islamic State attack meant the New Zealand, Australian and American Air Force were involved in an undercover mission to move Key from the safety of Dubai to Camp Taji, north of Baghdad, where our troops are based.
That was TV3's Mike McRoberts kicking off 3 News last Wednesday night, and TV3's political editor Patrick Gower followed up with a report that stretched to a full 5.5 minutes, starting like this.
The front line of New Zealand's war in Iraq, training Iraqi soldiers, showing them the Kiwi way to fight Islamic State.
Comes out, stays out.
And the way to survive.
Well, the guts will stick. That'll be really bad later.
And over on TV1, a very similar story was being told on One News.
What special training do the New Zealanders bring?
We have a lot. They have a lot of information and a lot of experience to help us a lot to fight the enemy. And on top of all that, to make be a special, they have a special training about all the new weapons and equipment we get from coalition forces.
The Prime Minister's top-secret visit to Iraq received extensive coverage here. The political editors of Radio New Zealand, Fairfax Media and the New Zealand Herald were also on the trip. And in the Fairfax papers the next day, Tracy Watkins wrote this from Iraq.
It only took a day watching the Kiwi trainers and their students in action at Camp Taji in Iraq to know they are making a real difference. And it is more than just a drop in the ocean.
Though how she reached that conclusion, she didn't say. In overseas media, big questions have been asked about the effectiveness of the international efforts to train Iraqi forces to face those of Islamic State. On One News last Wednesday night, TVNZ's political editor Corin Dann summed up like this.
Corin, we know many people are sceptical about the deployment of Kiwis in Iraq. What were your impressions?
Oh, look, whatever you think of the politics of the decision to deploy these troops what the merits of this visit were, you could not fault both the trainers, the Kiwi trainers, the effort they were putting in and the difference they do appear to be making.
And that, no doubt, will have pleased both the Prime Minister's office and the Defence Force, who made it possible for the political editors to get from Dubai to Iraq and back again, though Media Watch understands the media organisations themselves covered the cost of getting their people from New Zealand to Dubai and home again. Now, all this was planned and executed under strict secrecy and tight embargoes, which the media agreed to. And though sitting on a story goes against the grain, the need to keep a lid on the visit of a VIP to a war zone was obvious and important. But back home, TVNZ correspondent Andrea Vance was concerned about what we were getting in our media. On TVNZ's website, she wrote that on trips like these, journalists are complicit in what she called a pre-cooked photo opportunity. This trip was focusing on the good bits of this war, she said, Kiwi experts doing their bit, and John Key making good on his promise to call on the troops. We only call it propaganda, said Andrea Vance, when it's despotic North Korean leaders visiting their troops. Now, back in 2010, there was some similar concern in the media when the Prime Minister made another secret trip, that time to Afghanistan. And for that one, the Prime Minister's office raised hackles by picking just 4 journalists to go with him, insisting there wasn't room for any more, though there was room for a press officer who took photos and videos for the Prime Minister's social media feeds. Now, back then, there was also a place for the 2 main TV channels, who both made a point of telling their viewers their political editors were among the privileged quartet.
Political editor Duncan Garner was there with Key as it happened, one of just 4 New Zealand journalists on the trip.
But first, our own Guyon Espiner was one of the few media who went to Kabul with the Prime Minister. He filed this report.
Now, among those who was unhappy about that at the time was one political reporter who did get to go to Iraq this past week, Tracy Watkins of Fairfax Media. And back in 2010, she told Media Watch that the way that trip was organised coloured the coverage New Zealanders got.
What coverage they provided of that trip was very pictures focused. It was very image focused. It was about the Prime Minister sort of striding around Afghanistan in sort of flak jackets and in combat gear and that sort of thing, you know. And so there were sort of great pictures from the Prime Minister's point of view.
You mean things that will sway the public?
Well, images that stick in people's minds, I guess, which are about the Prime Minister's over there talking to our troops, etc. Now, do I think it was a legitimate trip for him to make? Absolutely, given the issues that we're weighing up at the moment around, as I said before, you know, troops staying there.
Do you think it's the case the government doesn't want documentary-style coverage, or indeed
no place for any journalists, specialists in defence. You know, it was all political journalists. Was there
it
a place?
It was political journalists, yes, and you would wonder whether, in fact, it would have been good to take journalists who spent some time over in Afghanistan over the last couple of years, who would have been excellent choices from the point of view of their newsrooms to send, because they had that sort of knowledge about what was going on there.
Fairfax Media's Tracy Watkins there, talking to Media Watch back in 2010 about the way media coverage of the Prime Minister's top secret trip to Afghanistan that year was organised. Now this week, it was, again, only the political reporters and editors who accompanied the Prime Minister to Iraq, and among them, Radio New Zealand's Jane Patterson, who said that the journalists had more access to New Zealand and Iraqi soldiers than they'd expected. She said some of them told reporters that recent graduates from Camp Taji were doing well out in the field and that their training was being put to good use. But she said second, third or even fourth-hand information was not easy to judge.
Really interesting too to spend a couple of days on a Defence Force base like that, which is a coalition base, so lots of different countries there, and just sort of see how the New Zealand soldiers and all of the rest of the forces live over there.
But once the trip was over, Jane Patterson wrote on Radio New Zealand's website that the flying visit was more a PR exercise for the Prime Minister and a morale boost for the soldiers rather than any kind of opportunity to gauge the effectiveness of what the New Zealand troops were doing. The top secret visit this week also showed that the Defence Force and the government can go to great lengths to accommodate reporters on tightly controlled and timetabled visits to potentially dangerous places. But they've not always been so accommodating with journalists who operate outside their sphere of influence and have raised difficult questions about what our troops are up to in war zones.